Hey everybody, it's the Loop Mechanics Podcast. Your hosts Bealus and Scormus are here to ramble on for a while about video and tabletop games, or whatever nonsense comes into their twisted little minds. Then, if you are very lucky, they will crawl off back under the rocks from whence they came, only to return again, like clockwork, next week. Seriously, these idiots are more unavoidable than death or taxes, and much less pleasant to endure. Anyway, enjoy the show, if you can.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bealus.
And happy Halloween!
Yes.
I think this is maybe the first time we've had an episode come out actually on Halloween. Usually we're doing this show a little bit before, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, it's our big Halloween extravaganza, so it's all Halloween, all the time. Yay, good times. So, speaking of that, do you have any particular interest in playing any of the Halloween events that are going on this week?
Well, I have tried out the Guild Wars 2 Halloween event. You know, it's pretty much the same as it's been for years.
Mm-hmm.
Always fun. But, you know, I'm really not into MMOs right now.
I know the feels.
Love to be, but just, I don't know. I was really hoping that No Man's Sky would have done a Halloween event, you know, because they've been doing these expeditions.
Mm-hmm.
And expeditions are cool and everything, but, you know, they've got all these horror elements that they could add to an expedition, and they just haven't. I mean, not really. So, I was kind of looking forward to them doing that, but, you know, maybe they're just too busy trying to combat all the bugs and placate the upset customers from the last patch.
Sure. I mean, but on one side, how hard could it be to throw out a expedition with a haunted freighter? Or on the other hand, be the company that is not doing Halloween content?
Well, that's definitely what they're doing.
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe not consciously, but at the same time, there's a lot of people that get sick to death of, oh God, everyone's going Halloween stuff. Much like they do with Christmas stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe they could be the game that's, well, hey, if you don't want to have Halloween content thrust in your face, come play No Man's Sky. We're not doing anything.
Yeah, but they've got those derelict freighters that are always so creepy to explore.
Right, it's
just screaming.
And they've got
the abandoned buildings with the, Do not make the mistake of messing with those eggs unless you're ready for a fight.
Right. It's just screaming for a haunted situation, you know?
Yeah.
Honestly, how hard could that be? They're throwing out expeditions pretty darn quick.
Well, going back to that, though, I really hope that they don't just start throwing out expeditions, because some of the ones they put out have been kind of lackluster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there have been a few that were just absolutely amazing, but there are a few that were just kind of,
wah, wah, wah.
I mean, they were fun at the time, but there really wasn't anything spectacular to them.
Right. But no, I get that. I mean, you know, don't overdo it, basically. And don't just rush them out just to get them out.
Yeah.
Because that could have been almost worse. If they had rushed out some haunted freighter thing for Halloween or something along those lines, and it was boring or easy, too quick, that sort of thing, people would have gone, oh, look at the time. You wasted all that time doing this when you could have been fixing bugs, or it would actually have hurt them in the long run. So, I don't know. Now, I personally had big plans. I think I mentioned this a couple shows ago, maybe, that I was going to reinstall Secret World Legends. I was going to reinstall Guild Wars 2. I was going to update New World. I was going to do all this stuff, and I was going to check out all these games for their Halloween content, especially Secret World Legends. And I haven't done shit.
Well, I mean, come on. It's Secret World Legends.
No. But
Secret World... How much interest could there actually be?
They have the best Halloween content. No. Seriously, dude. That
so
game is great for Halloween content. Just like the original Secret World was.
Yes,
their Halloween
content is not supposed to put you to sleep.
Oh, no, it don't. It is so good. It's literally scary stuff. It's fun.
He says as he completely ignores installing it.
Well, no, I didn't install it because I kept having my wife first to urgent care. And then we had to go to the hospital the next day.
Excuses.
Oh, yeah. Her, you know, almost having, you know, we thought of her, first it was kidney stones, and then it turned out to be something wrong with her back, and she can barely walk and's in constant pain. Yeah, no. I'd rather be reinstalling MMOs. Yeah, my soul is crushed.
You're not a true gamer.
Apparently, I'm not a true gamer. A female got in the way, right? Oh, God. Anyway, so yeah, it's been a stressful week in Casa do Scorme, but that's fine. I'm doing what I need to do. She's out in her recliner, drugged up, and trying to feel better. I have a phone right next to me in case she texts and I need to go get her something. Everything's good. But I still plan on doing some Halloween stuff. We were going to go camping this week. That has been canceled. It was my idea to do so. I was like, hey, if you can't sleep on our bed, how are you going to sleep on those beds that they have at the deluxe yurt we had booked? Which is like 4 inches of very solid foam covered in vinyl. Normally, they're a little hard to lay on, but we have sleeping bags and whatnot, and we just kind of make it a little softer. But with her back, no, there would be no getting back up off of that thing. So we decided, you know what, we'll just stay home. Well, staying home gives me time to do two things. First of all, we canceled giving out. We were going to do a big display for Halloween as well. Hand out toys to the kids, because we don't hand out candy because we'll eat it, and we're both really too fluffy for that. So we had little toys. We had a whole thing set up, and I took it down yesterday. And we're turning off the porch light, locking the gate. We're not doing trick-or-treating. I need to focus on her. But while she's, you know, resting, I'm going to do Animal Crossing New Horizons because they have an actually kind of fun Halloween event. No, seriously. I didn't do it last year. It's cute. You run around and do trick-or-treating. It's kind of fun. You got this little village and there's a someone running around pretending to be a dude wearing a jack-o'-lantern head and whatnot. And you can earn little prizes, which I have them all anyway, but whatever, I'll get some more. Yay! So I'll at very least do that. But also, this weekend I've been treating myself. You know I'm ahead on the solo actual play role-playing podcast I do, right?
Yeah, you're usually like 2-3 years ahead.
Not quite. I would have been that far, but I completely canceled the current season 2, last year, and redid it. So I have a whole year's worth of content that's just kind of set aside. I'm going to re-edit it and release it as specials at some point. But right now, I've been working on next year, and I'm almost done. on this last Saturday night, I recorded next year's Halloween event. I played Stories from the Grave, which is a nice little indie tabletop role-playing game, kind of in the model of a Tales from the Crypt or Creepshow sort of vibe. Loads of fun. Tonight, when I record, I'm going to be playing Fast Grim, which is Merkborg in space. Yeah. And basically, I'm going to, as long as my sweetie is comfortable and not needing my assistance, in short, she's all drugged up and resting, I'm going to be doing solo role-playing. And my goal is to knock out the rest of 2023, easy, and about half of 2024 shows. Why?
Because you're a glutton for punishment?
No, because I can. In theory, if I do it right, by the end of spring, I will have finished 2024, and all of 2025. Mid, you know, by a quarter of the way through 2023. I'll be well over 2 years ahead. And then I'm going to stop. And I decided I'm going to do five seasons, kind of the what I've been doing. And after that, I'm going to kind of decide if I'm changing things up. I think that's fair, you know, to just kind of maybe take a few months off for the Renaissance Fair season, relax through the summer. And then next fall, I can come back to it and decide whether I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing. Because at this point, by then, I will have burned through the vast majority of my good role-playing games. And I have a large library. So I'm deciding whether I want to change up the format, do something else, or just say, hey, we got five seasons in, which is more than 5 years worth of solo role-playing. Pretty sure I can, you know, stop the show at that point, and people will have gotten a good run, I would say. Right?
I don't see that. I don't think that's why you're doing it.
Oh?
You want to go through all the games that you have that are good so that you can buy more and continue.
Oh, no. Trust me, dude. I've got more coming. We talked last week about Paranoia, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the new edition of Paranoia. I was backer 136, if I remember right. I was in the 130s or 160s. I was in the first 200. And I backed it in the first couple minutes. They blew through their goal in less than an hour.
Yep. Shows there's a lot of masochists out there.
Oh, people were like, oh, so you are doing it. It's kind of an upgrade to the last edition. Only you're stepping back from the things people didn't like and leaning into the stuff they did. Sign me the fuck up. So, yes, I jumped on board. I'm reconsidering whether I want to stay backing the Secret World, but I've got a few more days to think about that. Maybe I'll stick with it just because. I'm also considering just dropping down to the PDFs. That way I spend $40, get the PDFs, don't have to worry about the print editions, but I also don't have to worry about having to pay extra and then do the printing and shipping, you know? Because as has been pointed out on their forums, people are wondering what's the difference between, you know, where's the upgrade in value of paying $40, if I remember right, for the PDFs, for that level, as opposed to $60 for the PDFs and print-on-demand codes. Why aren't we paying $40, or why isn't the $40 level just getting the print-on-demand codes? Because there's literally no difference other than here's a code so that you can go do print on demand. It's you're paying $20 for print on demand codes. I don't know. That's starting to bother me. I don't know if you can tell.
Oh yeah.
Seems like a bit of a ripoff. And what's bothering me more is that the question has been raised multiple times. And the developers won't address it. They keep talking. They try and change the question to be redirected to something they've already talked about. And it's like, no. We're trying to ask you what's the difference between these two levels. Why is it $20 more for just print-on-demand codes? And he was like, well, it's the reason it costs this much for printing is, no, that's not what we're asking you. You know? Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm getting off topic. Shall we move on to our main topic then?
Sure.
Okie doke.
And now the hosts shall prattle on about subjects most mundane.
Okay, so Bayless.
Yeah.
I thought that much like, well, almost every Halloween we've been doing this, we could talk about some new or upcoming horror-based role-playing games, video games, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we've collected up a few to talk about, so why don't I, we can do this in the order we'd put up there if you like.
Sure.
I'll start and talk about a game that I don't own, which is kind of shocking. It's one I find interesting, but I don't own it for a specific reason, and I'll get to that in a bit. The game is Trophy Dark. This is a small, independent tabletop role-playing game made by The Gauntlet, who are really well-known in the tabletop role-playing podcasting field. They have a whole network of podcasts, actual plays, things like that. I enjoy what they do. Now, Trophy Dark is an offshoot of Trophy Gold. And basically, the trophy games are about treasure hunters, but not as heroes. I mean, your characters are treasure hunters, but it's more of a twisted view of the classic genre. Trophy Dark specifically is about treasure hunters entering a haunted forest that doesn't want them there. So it's got a kind of a feel of the old Hans Christian Andersen or grim fairy tales, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, these aren't the heroes that most tabletop role-playing games are about. This is a story of, as they put it in their description on DriveThruRPG, this is the story of entitled pillagers meeting tragic ends. Basically, it's got a kind of Evil Dead vibe to it. In, you know, although I've never played it, that's kind of how it sounds. Your characters kind of suck. They're entitled pillagers thinking, I'm going to go in there and take all the gold. Yeah, well, maybe the forest doesn't want to give up what it has. Maybe those ancient ruins, like in Trophy Gold, are ancient haunted ruins for a reason. Maybe you shouldn't be there. Kind of looks at the classic heroic adventurer trope from the view of more of a colonizer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, like I said, I haven't bought this game. It's not super expensive, but here's the thing. I haven't bought it for a reason. It's digital only. They don't give you the ability to buy it print on demand. And I have not found a place where I can buy it, like in an offset print or anything like that. And yes, I could send the PDF over to a service like lulu.com or something like that and get them to print it. Or I could maybe do a home print on my own printer. But I kind of like having a professionally done book on the shelf. So, and don't say, oh, well, it's really small, only has a few pages. Dude, I mentioned Stories from the Grave earlier. Super thin. Still managed to get it print on demand. And it's a full size 8.5 by 11. So, come on now. Anyway, you had a chance to read about Trophy Dark. What do you think?
It's interesting. I don't know if I'd ever want to play it.
Sure. What do you think of the concept of them trying to turn the classic fantasy tropes on its head?
Well, I've seen that done in a lot of different games, you know, mostly video games, but I mean, it could be fun.
I wouldn't see this being much for campaign play.
Oh, hell no.
It kind of has a feel of a...
One-shot?
A short campaign or one-shot. The sort of game you play when you're... Hey, you know, we've kind of stepped aside from our D&D campaign, or it's finished and we're not quite ready to start up a different campaign. So, hey, let's give this a try. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That's fine. There's absolutely a place for those games.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
And I have no problem with that. I'm sure it's... I've heard nothing but good things about Trophy. So, like I said, I would really love to buy it. Not sure. I mean, like they talk about the entitled pillager trope. You know, doing that in Trophy Dark. Consider me the entitled video game collector who wants professional prints, books, not to have to print out a book, keep it in a binder on my shelf. I have one of those. I do. Mm-hmm. But it's for games like Lasers and Feelings, which are like a couple pages. You know? Hell, the original edition, the original printout of Mothership, which is literally a few pages, you can get printed in zine format. And I have. I also backed it on Kickstarter, by the way. I'm getting the box set, don't worry. Anyway, why the hell can't I get a print-on-demand of Trophy Dark? Sorry, kind of bugs me. You can't get any trophy books print-on-demand. They've got like three of them. Trophy Gold, Trophy Dark, and Trophy Loom, which is, oh man, I'd love to have Trophy Loom.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like it'd be a prime opportunity for them to do a all-in-one book.
Just Trophy.
With yeah,
Trophy Gold, series. Dark, and Loom. Hell yeah!
All in a book.
And since they're charging $15 a piece for the PDFs, that's fine. You can knock it to $20 for the PDF of the combined book. That may seem like a steal, but it's not like they've added any additional content there. They've just reformatted what they had. And a print-on-demand that they're charging $45 for.
Mm-hmm.
That would be fair. And you know what? My ass would be ordering it day one as soon as I heard about it. That would be frickin' awesome. But anyway, Trophy Loom, I want that so bad because it isn't a game. It's kind of a setting book, kind of. But more, it's just a bunch of random lists, random tables. So you can roll up names and all kinds of stuff to fill in content or completely randomize a game. It's system agnostic, although it's meant for Trophy Gold and Trophy Dark. but you can use it with any sort of fantasy game. And I'm like, that's awesome. And like you said, if these were all combined together, all the trophy books together in one collection, hell yeah!
Well, if the man, if the people who are were running Trophy Series, they should pay attention.
I wish they would.
Missed opportunity.
I'm sure it's been suggested before, but
nah, yeah. We're original.
Anyway, so yeah, that's something I wanted to bring to people's attention. It looks really cool. Now, shoot, I messed up. Didn't have the next game up. Oh, I do. There it is. What? No. There we go. Okay, so you wanted to talk about Killer Frequency.
Yes. All right. What Killer Frequency is, it's a video game that's coming out this year, fourth quarter, so any day now. It's a VR game, and it has the feel of like a Five Nights at Freddy's kind of thing. It's a first-person view, except it doesn't look like you're the actual person in danger. You're a radio DJ, kind of like a nighttime host.
Uh-huh.
And you get a call from, you know, one of your listeners, and it's, you know, they've made a horrifying discovery. And so you're going to be talking to your callers. Some of them are suspects, some of them are victims, and you're trying to help your listeners survive the night. So, I mean, it's got puzzles and, you know, all these things that you can interact with. You can gather clues, and you're the one basically making the decisions to help, you know, your listeners survive.
Huh. It almost sounds a bit like the a twist on the old movie Play Misty for Me.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you remember that, the Clint Eastwood movie.
Oh, I remember Clint Eastwood movie, yeah.
From the 70s. It was a real offshoot from the action hero stuff he had been doing at the time. But, yeah, he played a DJ, and he was being stalked by a listener. So it's kind of a shoot off of that. But and it says that actually it's not just for VR. It's also coming to Steam for flat screen play, but cool. It's optimized for VR.
Right.
That looks really kind of fun.
Well, and the fact that it's all set to 80s music,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's got 80s rock and synth music. I don't know. It just kind of sounds appealing. Even though I'm not really into horror games, it just, I don't know, it just seems to have a kind of cool vibe to it.
Yeah. This has
I'd give it a try.
This has the feel of a, if you'll excuse the pun, a killer app. If it is as good as it sounds. Let's be honest, VR doesn't have a huge amount of games that are really good. They've got a lot of stuff that feel like tech demos, and that's about it. Especially when it comes to the Quest. Oh, it's got some good games. But what's the point in spending all that money to buy an Oculus Quest or an Oculus Quest 2 in this case? What's the point in spending all that money when there's a handful of must-have games?
Well,
this might be one of those games that just goes, yep, must-have.
Well, anything that helps the VR community grow, because the VR community, in my opinion, needs to really get there, you know, really flesh out, because that's going to spawn so many other gaming advances.
Right.
That would be awesome to have like a real MMO VR game. I mean,
absolutely.
I'm sure there's some out there, but not to the level of, you know, if you watch any anime like Sword Art Online or any of those, there's... I'm looking, you know, for something more that level.
Right.
Of gaming experience, not what we have now.
Any sort of role-playing game on VR is pretty much hack and slash nonsense. And there's no depth. This isn't just another, oh, it's a horror game where you run out and there's jump scares or monsters around the corner and you run away and it scares you that way, which those are, they've got their place. But this is more of a puzzle solving, trying to help other people survive. That is really a very unique take on the VR experience, especially since it's not just about, oh no, something jumps out in front of you and spooks you. It's not relying on the visuals so much because you're having to listen to what your callers are saying and help them.
And you can
them.
Be, you know, fairly certain that one of the callers is going to be the killer.
Right.
Gloating or whatever, threatening to come and get you, that sort of thing.
Sure. So that is, hopefully, I mean, we don't know yet. It could be a total turd. Don't know. But I can only think of one game that has been a, oh my God, that absolutely is, it was built for VR. It's awesome for, and it wasn't even built for VR, but it's the sort of game that you have to play VR. And that's Super Hot, which is a first-person shooter game with a unique twist. The graphics are a little, well, limited, but at the same time, that's kind of its appeal. Really nifty game. This could be along those lines. Unfortunately, we still have to wait a little bit to find out.
Yep, unfortunately.
Do you have any other thoughts on that one, or shall we move on?
I think we should move on. I mean, it just has a really kind of cool feel to it. You know, it's late night at KFAM radio station in Gallows Creek.
Mm-hmm. Now, I wanted to talk another tabletop role-playing game.
Sure.
And this is one that I do have. And unlike, it's got the same problem that Trophy Dark has. No print-on-demand version. But this is one I really don't mind in that case, because it comes from the Dungeon Professor on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And it is kind of a rules light take on Call of Cthulhu called the Eldritch Hack. There is one stat, skill. Some things you'll be skilled in. You can choose a few things that you have skill in, and you can roll a d20 with your skill stat for those things. Otherwise, you just roll a d20. It's super fast. Just, oh, and they've adjusted little things on it because you can determine your sanity and whatnot that are kind of sub things in it. So that it will work, you can take any Call of Cthulhu module and use it to play Eldritch Hack. So you don't want to go through all the detailed work of playing Call of Cthulhu? Fine. You want to play some Call of Cthulhu adventure you have from first edition, let's say? Okay. Everybody throws together a character in Eldritch Hack. Go. You can make a character in 2 minutes. It only requires 2 dice, and it's fully compatible with Call of Cthulhu. Also, I was like, wow, you know, it's like a $6, but it's like 40 pages or so, and you get a bonus adventure in the book. I was mistaken. I went looking through it. The bonus adventure is part of those 40 pages. So there's like 20 something pages of the rules, quote unquote. And the majority of that is just talking, making a character, and the rules themselves are like very, very minor part of the book because there's not a whole lot to learn. Are you skilled with it? You roll with this. If you're not, roll with that. Boom, done. Moving on. You're like, oh, you do damage? Cool. Roll this dice. That's it. Like he says, you need two dice.
Yeah, where's the fun in that?
Well, the thing is...
Lots of dice.
Yes, but there are games that do that. This, the whole point of it is to reduce the complexity of Call of Cthulhu and similar games. Because you know how much of a slog combat can be in games where it's like, especially with new players, where you're like, okay, you want to shoot the thing with the shotgun. All right. And it's like, okay, what do I do? Well, you do this and you compare it to that. And it's like, okay, so you hit. All right. So roll your damage. What do I roll for that? Okay. Well, this shotgun does this many damage. Roll a D8. Which one's a D8? And so on.
That's when the monster has, you know, already eaten the player.
Yeah. But I'm just saying.
Learn to play your characters, dude.
This is one of those, I love it because super easy. I don't got to think about rules at all. I can focus on story. I can focus on the more important parts of the game, the narrative parts, the role playing, right?
I love the fact that you had to stop for a second and continue your thoughts so that, you know, I would have made a comment.
Uh-huh. Anyway, the point is, that's how it works for me, but for other people, this is a great stepping stone game. You want to get somebody interested in Call of Cthulhu or similar horror games. Okay, cool. Let's try this. You know, and after a little bit, hey, you know, I liked that. That was good for a one-shot or a small campaign, but I miss the... In their minds, the complexity of 5th edition. I wanted to have more to my character. Hey, cool. Here's 7th edition Call of Cthulhu. It's Eldritch Hack, but with a lot more detailed rules. You can really get in there and build a character, and there's all kinds of systems and whatnot to work with. It's a little crunchy, because they think D&D 5th edition is crunchy. The fools! Anyway, point is...
Here, let me introduce you to Traveler.
Do you understand hexadecimal?
You want crunch? Here's crunch.
I hope you took trigonometry. Yeah. Point is, this is the sort of game that really has a place in especially independent role-playing. I watched the initial video on it from the Dungeon Professor. And... by the time the video was over, I had already ordered it off of DriveThruRPG and was reading it. This is a super cool game. And unfortunately, because of the way I have my schedule set up, I'm not playing it for a little while for solo role-playing. But I cannot wait to give it a try and record it for the show. That's going to be awesome. Especially since there were some bugs and typos, and they've been getting fixed. So by the time it gets around to it, and I actually print it out for play, it should all be fixed and ready to go.
Cool.
Anywho, did you have any thoughts on this game?
I like Call of Cthulhu. So, I mean, anything that gets more people into that kind of game, I'm all for.
Cosmic horror. Because, I mean, sure, there's other games that do this, but they don't do it with one attribute. I'm just wishing, honestly, and I told my coworker this. He and I are both into role-playing games. I told him, I was like, dude, can you just imagine if he adapted this, used the same system, but turned it into a fantasy game? Or a sci-fi game? Or a Wild West game? Because it's so broken down and simple, you could do that with any system, any sort of genre. It would just be super great. And maybe throw together three or four of them together in one book and print on demand that bitch. Just saying. Anyway, to wrap up, there was another game that you wanted to talk about today. Would you like to tell us about it?
Well, and this is kind of going off of that whole Lovecraftian theme.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get to it here. It's a video game called Scorn. And what Scorn is it's a kind of like a survival horror game. And it's set to, I don't know if you've ever seen H.R. Giger's work.
Yeah.
But if you haven't seen it, H.R. Giger, he designed the aesthetic for Alien. And that kind of, you know, the monsters, the eggs, I mean, the just the whole setup is just, that's H.R. Giger's work. If you've seen his work, you'll definitely understand. But this game is basically, it's a survival game set in an alien world, and you're trying to survive and escape. And it's just, the things you have to do is just, I mean, wow. There's stuff that you have to use as a key that you wouldn't think of as a key. There's an alien in an egg of sorts, and you have a couple options with it. You can either put it out of its misery and kill it in the egg, and all that's left is its hand, and you take the hand and you stick it in this little hole, and it comes out with this kind of like bio device attached to it that acts as a key so you can get out of that room. Or you can save the creature and force its hand into the thing to make the key to get the door unlocked so you can get out, and then you just leave the creature there and move on.
Huh.
But it's just weird, but intriguing all at the same time.
Sounds like it's got a kind of like it's a throwback to the old adventure games from the 90s, where you had to make moral choices and whatnot. But you were right about the whole H.R. Giger aesthetic. That is phallic as hell.
Oh, yeah.
Looking at the artwork is like, yep. Yep, I can see the Giger in it. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was Geiger.
Mm-hmm. I've heard it pronounced Giger as well. So regardless, we got it right one way or the other. So, yeah. Beautiful.
So actually, it's pronounced Stan.
Stan, yes. Okay, so Stan's artwork is amazing. And they definitely went off of that. It is gorgeous. Unfortunately, and well, not surprisingly, it's coming out for the Xbox game systems, Windows, Steam, on the Epic Store, and good old games. Not coming out for the Switch.
I wouldn't think so. It looks like it's a little too
graphics intensive.
Too graphics heavy for Steam. Or for, Switch.
Yeah. Especially, it's not coming out on the PlayStation. It's only PC, basically, and Xbox.
Well, of course.
And it's not even the Xbox One. It's the Xbox Series machines. The newest. So, now I get it. It's just, yeah. Now, the thing is that I have not seen negative reviews yet. But I've heard of at least one reviewer, specifically James Stephanie Sterling. And I think the word they used was disappointed. I'm not quite sure, but they were not happy with Scorn. So I don't believe I've seen the official review on it yet, but it sounded like they did not have good things to say. That said, from what I'm seeing, it looks really freaking cool. Not necessarily my sort of game, because, well, I tried the old adventure games and survival horror games, and...
You don't do well with survival games.
No, I don't survive well.
Not normally.
No. My reaction time is not fast enough.
Well, so... I was looking at one of the negative reviews, and he basically takes them to task, saying that all of their points that they talk about the game, you know, how it's there's no cutscenes, there's no, you know, you've got, you know, every location has its own theme and story, and puzzles and characters are integral to creating a cohesive world, and that there's acquired different skill sets and stuff. And he's going through just point for point saying that, you know, this game is, it's not nonlinear, it's linear as hell. You know, there's different skill sets you can gain, and there are literally no skill sets in the game. You know, that happens in game with no cutscenes, except there are cutscenes. They're just in first person, that sort of thing. So, take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah. What's its overall view on Steam, though?
It's mostly positive. So, I mean, there's one or two or maybe a dozen negative reviews, but the majority of them are positive.
Yeah.
And... You know, looking at some of these guys, the one I'm looking at, he's got like just over 5 hours in the game, where, you know, another person here has, you know, over 20 hours in the game. And he's just like, scorn, love it. So.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I'm looking on Steam as well, and 5.5 hours on record, not recommended. 6.1 hours, not recommended. But then you got 6.6, recommended. 6.8, recommended. Half an hour,
recommended.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But 8.8. Now here's somebody, 15.7, not recommended. Okay, and they said they really wanted to like the game, but they can't stand it. And they say it's a puzzle game, not a shooter, my mistake. How about you read the... information.
I don't think it says
it.
Anything about it being a shooter game.
No. A lot of people just hear there's a new game coming to and it's survival horror. They automatically assume it's a shooter. And that's silly. But overall, it's positive, 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 positive.
I'm rereading everything and it doesn't say anything about it being a shooter.
No. Like
not
I said,
once.
It looks a lot more like those old adventure games that used to have in the 80s and 90s. They were more like point-and-click sort of games.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of puzzles to solve and whatnot. Maybe there was some combat in some of them, but for the most part, it was exploring. And yeah, I totally could see that.
But you can't have exploring in my combat game. Except it's not a combat game.
Right. Now, I do see one spot on their main webpage. There's one little brief spot where you see a monster start to charge him and he shoots it with something.
But that does not equate a shooter game.
2 seconds in a video that has no other shooting whatsoever. And it's all puzzle solving and exploration. Kind of would tell you it's not a shooter. Just from looking at it. Anyway. Looks very nice. Again. The sort of game I'd play, I don't think. I would be wasting my money. But it also doesn't seem super expensive either. So.
Saw a price on here.
On Steam, the deluxe
like $40.
Was $50. Yeah.
Well, it's $40 for the basic edition.
Right.
If you want the deluxe edition, it's 50.
Yeah. That is like $20 less than the basic would. No, $30 less, because usually the basic game is now $70 on a AAA game. So, especially on like the Xbox. So, definitely a mid-range price on a game. Now, I don't know how long the game is. Maybe it's only like an 8-hour experience, in which case, that's probably a good price.
I don't know. There's some 20-hour reviews, or 20-hour reviews.
Exactly, but that could be somebody replaying it, too.
True.
So, I don't know. Again, haven't played it. Just from the aesthetics, it looks beautiful. And I would say, if this were the sort of game I was really into, right? From the looks of it, any videos on it that I've seen, not many, admittedly, but from looking at videos, and from the reviews on Steam, because normally, if a game sucks, Steam players let you know.
Oh, yeah. They have right? They have no qualms about, you know, shooting something down if they don't like it.
Exactly. And the fact that that hasn't happened and the game's been out a couple weeks, that I would definitely, if this were the sort of game I was interested in, I would have plunked down my money already. But again, I'm not a survival horror guy. So, but strangely enough, I own Doom. Doom's different. Doom's more like an arcade game. You know? Jump down, shoot things. That's Doom. It just happens to be demons. This is something different. So,
well, the issue I have with this game that I just cannot see myself playing it is from just, you know, your basic instinct for survival, you don't go sticking your hand in something that looks like it's going to bite your hand off. But that's what you have to do to interact with whatever device opens up this gate or moves this lever or whatever. It's like it's counterintuitive to the way, you know, a survival game would be.
Or what you expect from a current survival game. Right now, that's the way they are. But this also feels like it's got kind of a body horror element to it.
Oh, yeah.
And we said that, you know, it's got a little, the artwork is very inspired by Giger, but it's also got a bit of a Hellraiser vibe to it, too. So maybe there's where you're getting your puzzles have to be solved by putting yourself in peril. I don't know. Anyway, looks nifty. Best I can say about it.
Yeah. It's definitely interesting.
Anywho, anything else on this topic?
No.
Cool, cool.
Are we done with this shit yet?
Okay, so that's about all for this week. I did want to end with one question for you, though, Bielis.
Sure.
What are you doing for Halloween? Not for gaming, just for Halloween.
Probably not doing a whole hell of a lot. We may sit down and marathon at least a few episodes of Stranger Things.
That's a good choice.
Because we haven't, you know, even jumped into this season yet.
We've only watched season one.
Well, season two is pretty good. I liked it, at least.
I'm sure. It's just we're way behind with watching other shows, too, so. Anyway, I was thinking a marathon myself. Because we're not even doing trick-or-treating this year. We're turning the porch light off and locking the gate. No display. And that's mostly because, you know, my sweetie being injured, I don't want to be getting up every couple minutes to hand out stuff to the kids. Although that's fun, and we haven't done it in several years because of the pandemic. I was really looking forward to it, But, yeah, no, I've got better things to do. So, I was thinking of either letting her rest and putting on some old radio plays. I love doing that. The old horror radio plays. I've got a bunch that I put on my phone and just play and let it sit there and I'll just listen. And that's super fun. Or maybe watch some videos, watch some movies, whatever. Because, oh my God, I've got horror movies in my queue waiting to watch. And, you know, I might just watch something even recent. I mean, I know it's not exactly horror, but have you seen Prey?
I know what's going on with it. I haven't watched it yet.
It's not a perfect movie, but I'd say it's right up there with the original Predator or Predator-style movies.
Well, and you gotta admit, even the original Predator wasn't that good.
But it was fun. And the sequels were not as good as it. Then again, I enjoyed Predators, the one where they're whisked away to another planet to basically be put on a hunting reserve, and the people were pitted against each other, the Robert Rodriguez movie. I enjoyed that one. And I know a lot of people didn't like Prey because, oh, it's a woman, or, oh, you know, they're Indians, and oh, this, and oh, that. Well, you know what? For a movie, it's freaking great. I enjoyed it a lot. So, it was certainly better than The Predator or any of the Alien versus Predator movies.
Oh, those things were horrible.
Or Predator 2, even. I know a lot of people have a lot of love for Predator 2, but
I kind of liked it.
Oh, yeah.
But it was mostly just because of the actor.
Sure. Kinda liked it is great, and it has some good parts. The very end on the ship, that's really a spiffy scene. I enjoyed that. And it did open up the universe a lot because they had the skull of the Predator, of the alien on it. Things like that.
Well, what I liked about it was the trophy he got was that that like flintlock pistol that you find out where that pistol came from in Prey.
Exactly. And I've seen talk that there might be a follow-up to Prey, which is a prequel that shows that guy, because it's like he knew what he was fighting. Had he fought one before? Where did that, you know, and he would had that flintlock then. I'm not going to give away big, I mean, Prey's been out long enough that it's okay to give away spoilers, but you haven't seen it. So I'm not going to spoil it for you. But it's, like I said, not a perfect movie, but for Predator movies, it's among my favorites.
Well, considering the competition.
Yeah. It's better than most. And I haven't seen it in a couple months, so maybe I'll throw that on. It's better than the other option, which was rewatching Killer Clowns from Outer Space. I don't like clowns, but that is a goofy-ass movie, and it's fun. But I have to watch it while my sweetie's not in the room, because it irritates her to no end. Yeah.
Kind of like my wife gets really bothered by Strange Brew. It's a stupid, fun movie, but she absolutely hates it.
Well, yeah, my wife hates the airplane films, too.
Oh, that's just sacrilege.
Dude, she's never seen Animal House. I just found that out last week. She's never seen Animal House.
So she hasn't seen the zit scene. The zit scene,
no,
yes.
No, she hasn't seen any of it. We saw a thing that referenced John Belushi in Animal House, and she was like, I've never seen that. It's like, wait, what? We've been married how long, and you've never seen Animal House? I fail as a husband.
Brian was an extra in that.
Yeah, I said that. our brother, our oldest brother, was in the film. Wasn't he driving a float?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was filmed in the town we grew up in. Part of it, anyway.
Part of it.
The old Rainbow Motel is the motel they used in one scene, and the parade up Main Street was in our town. So, yeah, anyway. So, we're probably not going to watch that on Halloween, though, because, I'm sorry, Animal House is not a Halloween movie.
No.
But sometime this week, especially if she's not as drugged and not going to be falling asleep constantly.
Oh, maybe she'll still fall asleep through it.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's all I got. Do you have anything else?
Nope.
Okay. So until next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
Generic catchphrase ending. And happy Halloween.
Well, look at that. You made it through an entire episode. Good for you. Now, here's your prize. Ads. Please drop by whatever service you heard this abomination of a podcast on, and give the show a great review. You can also come by our website scormy.com, check out our blogs, podcasts, and other content, and leave some comments. Finally, join our Discord server. You can listen to us record Loop Mechanics live, and chat with other fans. You'll find the link on the website. Until next time, I'm the digital voiceover guy, telling you to kindly fuck off.